Welcome to another episode of Meeting Pros. I'm your host, Kevin Finn, and I'm here with my beautiful co-host, Jessica Park. How are you doing, Jessica?
I'm good. How are you, Kevin?
I'm doing great. In a couple weeks, we're going to be hosting a live remote from the Alley Awards, and I'm getting excited about it.
I'm very excited. I'm excited to be there and to participate, and you and I are going to meet a bunch of different people.
I know. We're going to really get into the event world. Well, we have some great guests today. Later in the show, we're going to talk to Jimmy Economos, is that right? With EEP Events, and Ellie Westman Chin with Atlanta Convention and Visitor Bureau. But first up on Meeting Pros, we have no stranger to the Business Radio X, Mike. He's got his own show with us. Alan Urich over with 200 Office and 200 Peachtree. Welcome, Alan.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you on our show here. If I'm not mistaken, you just had a big event in your venue last weekend.
We did. We were so lucky. We had the NCAA, and what we did was we had the we were fortunate enough on the four to have Louisville. We were Fan Central, and there was at least 3,000 people in there. And they took over the whole building. I was there on Friday and Saturday night. I was trying to get out Saturday about 3 o'clock and never made it until about 9 o'clock because we had to turn in some of the other spaces into bars and add food and all that. It's a good thing to have
but it's a good
when you're just not there, expecting it, but they were just, I mean, all these college kids, and they were just climbing the walls and out on the streets, and the police were having a great time, trying to contain them. But the police were wonderful. Mm-hmm. We have wonderful police.
Oh,
definitely. We have a cafe in our place, Cafe Santa. What I do is I invite the police up, and they always get free coffee, just like the ambassadors.
Brilliant.
Definitely.
Yeah, I want them up there.
Yeah.
So also, you have a Dragon Con this year, right?
Yeah, we're going to put on something on Dragon Con. This was the Louisville NCAA was a good preview for what we're going to be doing with Dragon Con. And as a venue, these we call self-produced venues. And what we do is we're going to work with some people, and Ellie just gave me a name of someone that I hope that has a better contact in there. But we've been meeting, I've been cruising all the comic book stores and
trying to get your comic information down.
Steampunk seems to be big.
It is huge.
Yeah, I love it.
And
it's cool.
Yeah, Jessica and I were looking yesterday at some of the comics in the fashion show. It'd be neat to have a fashion show.
Oh, definitely.
Avengers.
I am on board
Guardians.
For the steampunk fashion show. <for sure.
laughs> But also the Avengers and also the Guardian is we're having some I'm trying to figure out because we have 3 days and in between we have a wedding Saturday.
Wow.
We have a wedding, and so that's going to be it's going to be interesting, let's say.
Well, Jessica and I make great judges. We can judge over the radio.
Well, the steampunk would be very interesting.
Exactly.
I was looking over some of those comics and very interesting costumes.
Mm-hmm. So where's 200 Peachtree located? So located in the old Macy's building?
Well, the 200 Peachtree is in the downtown Macy's building. Mm-hmm. We bought that in 2008. And what we did was we renovated it. It took about 2 years to renovate it. We've got four lines of business there. One's an event center. The second is a conference center. The third is we call retail, and that's two restaurants quote unquote rent from us, and I say quote unquote because we do some revenue share with them.
Okay, not bad.
But they've never hit the bottom. They've been extremely successful, and that's the Sweet Georgia Jew Joint. It's on the south side, and on the north side, we have Meehan's, which I eat quite a bit.
It's very, very good.
Yeah, during Dragon Con last year, I brought my family down there, and at 8 o'clock. At 8 o'clock in the morning, the place was absolutely packed. My hands were packed, and I said to Ian, this is disgusting. I said, yeah, isn't it great?
You also buy that new rail car they're building, right? Like right.
Yeah,
next
we've got the stop. We were fortunate in that, and I'll take luck over other things any day. But what we're doing is it stopped right in our corner of Ellis and Peachtree. And that's going to be great. And initially, I wasn't as keen on that. But if you look at other cities, for the $100 million that it's going to cost, they say that there's been $1 billion in economic impact.
That's
whenever
awesome.
I can get 10 to 1 on my money.
You can't beat that. No one gives you those
odds. No, I like that. So we're really looking forward to that. They've been meeting in our building, by the way.
All right.
And so they've had the meetings of the group, just updates and things like that.
Well, before we get into the redevelopment of how you got the Macy's building, I want to know all about that. Tell us a little bit how you became Alan Urich, because everyone knows the name Alan Urich in Atlanta.
Well, thank you. How I became Alan Urich? Well, I've been married 43 years, two children, which is the most important to me, and three grandchildren, and I love them to death. But how in my business career started out as a medical technologist, couldn't feed my family, and medical technologists love to work around dead things in the basement, you know, and I'm just not that type of person. I like alive things and vibrancy and things like that. So what happened was that I became an administrator in a hospital, and I started getting sued a lot and didn't like that when I was 27. You know, someone sues you for catching a cold and they sue you for $500,000. You get a little sensitive to that, especially when you're younger. Even when you're older, you get a little sensitive to it, but understand that that's how attorneys make money. And joined a small company called HBOC, and HBOC was a healthcare information technology company. I put it in my particular hospital, and we grew that company from about the $3 million and sold it for $13.8 billion back in '98.
Wow.
To McKesson. And that's their whole division, which they've carried. And my role in it was to open the eastern part of the United States. And then what happened was that I moved down here when we did an IPO and raised $50 million. My job was to, you know, help spend that money. And so that's what I did. And we grew that significantly. And then I got bored after. I like things. What I've done my whole life is grow fruit stands, what I call fruit stands, into factories. Fruit stand to me is not systemized, not scalable, highly dependent on the entrepreneur. I like to grow it into a factory, which is systemized, scalable, and not dependent on the entrepreneur. And once they get to be a factory, I'm bored to death with it. And I have to move on to my next thing. And that's what I've done. Grew a ministry called St. Vincent de Paul. We grew that from two people, 1,800 square feet to 20,000 square feet with 24 people, and put in lots of entrepreneurial things like thrift stores. And then we were finding we were getting diamond rings in thrift stores that you can't sell. And by doing that, what was happening was that I set up a virtual auction to auction them off. And on the lower side, we were getting in soiled clothing, and I was selling that to Malaysia for 18 cents a pound.
Wow.
You know, that's just me. And then I got noticed, I guess, by the Vatican, and they asked me to work with them for about 5 years from 99 to 2004. So I was over there quite a bit of the time. You know, and then when I started having grandchildren, it was time to come home and stay.
When's the book?
No book. No book, just personal experiences. And then 200 Peachtree is extremely important because I've never done a real estate thing like that, and I like to mess things up in my life and go to things I don't know anything about and learn about them. Also, I teach at Georgia State entrepreneurship, do some other things, do some business consulting.
What was your inspiration to take on such a big project as 200 Peachtree?
Well, it was really my partners, Robert Galante and Robert Patterson, that took it on, and I joined them a little bit later. But the inspiration is to revitalize the downtown. We went through a period downtown Atlanta where there was just not the vibrancy in downtown. And Robert Galante was walking past the building one time and said, "This until we get the downtown Macy's building, which was abandoned for about 5 years, into something that was that is something that is viable and you can do something with it, then it's the whole downtown is not going to be is not going to grow." And in addition, we got great partners, the Atlanta Convention Center that you'll hear about with Melly in a couple minutes, and some other partners, you know, with that, and the Invest Atlanta is near us, and we just saw it. And the opportunity for us, the business opportunity in the event center, is that on all four sides of us, we have hotels that were built in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. They were built to sleep in, as hotels were, not to have events in. And so the business opportunity that we have is this, is all four sides of us, the West End, to the north of us, to south is the Ellis Hotel, the Courtyard. To the west of us is the Marriott Residence Inn in the Hampton, and just across the street from us at 191 area is the Ritz-Carlton. They use us a lot. For us down the road, we have the we formed a relationship with the World Trade Center, and so that's our business opportunity in that, and we provide the convention. So now there's about 10,000. About 10,000. We've got about 10,000 rooms down in that area, and what they can do is they provide the beds, we provide the event space, and so that's our business opportunity. Now, I'm always looking at what is the business opportunity for this, and sometimes it takes a while to throw. My partners are always laughing at me because I throw a lot of things on the wall,
see what sticks.
What sticks, and if it doesn't stick. You know, okay.
Move on.
Mm-hmm. Go to the next thing, and it's a mindset, you know, and that's what I've always done my whole life is, okay, it doesn't work. Let's try something else.
Well, I love what you're talking about. Many years ago, I worked over at Gibney's Pub behind Peachtree Center Mall right there.
Okay, cool.
So I used to be a bar back there, and it was just people coming and complain about that area all the time to me.
Yes.
I'd have to leave at 4 in the morning, and it would be just absolutely terrible. So I'm all for revitalizing downtown Atlanta.
Well, that's what my partner Robert Galante and Robert Patterson said, that we've got to do something. Okay, no one's going to do it. We're going to do it. Yeah. And then they got me involved in it.
So where do you think Atlanta is in that stage? I feel like it's moving in the right direction.
Oh, it absolutely is. Mayor Reed is wonderful. I think he's a terrific mayor for us. The way that he handles things is just incredible. And he really has helped us. He's been in. He cut my ribbon for a couple of my spaces down there. And he's very, very supportive of the downtown area, the police down there. We're the lowest crime rate in Atlanta in that particular area. Like I say, I invite them up for coffee all the time.
Definitely.
You know, for them, and they get free coffee whenever they are because they're heroes to me.
Well, I love to hear that Kasim Reed is really involved in the small business world because I think I think small business is what's going to bring Atlanta back up to the top.
He is through Invest Atlanta.
Yeah.
And Invest Atlanta was part of, they did some bonds for us. We put about $30 million into the building. About $17 million is private equity. $10 million, we had a mortgage. And then he put, there was about $2.5 million in bonds.
So when's the first time you really realized you were an entrepreneur?
Oh, the first time was very, I guess it was that my dad worked for a company for about 35 years, Art Donnelly's. He made the cover of Time magazine, very, very pretty. And I realized that I just didn't want to do that and go and retire. That's just not my chemistry.
Yeah,
and so I realized that I wanted to do some multiple things in my life, and because my mind always, like I said before, needs to be challenged, and when my mind's challenged, that's what it is. You know, it's just great for me. You know, and so things. Unfortunately, I've got a wonderful wife, Claudia, that is that helps me out on that too.
It's good to hear.
What are some of the, you probably touched on this a bit, but what are some of the challenges that you've seen as an entrepreneur in your project?
Some of the challenges are getting the management team, I think, in straight. I look at five things, and I look at investments. I look at the management team, and under them, I look, do they have the passion for it? Do I trust them as business people? Third thing I look for is do they have optimism? Can they do it? Because so many people are going to say that you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone says to me, you can't do it, that just means
it
might take a little longer, but I'll do it. It's a challenge to me. And the fourth thing that I look at is character in the person. I think a character is extremely important, and integrity. I didn't invest in one guy because he did something that was unconscionable to me. And that was, I walked into his office and I'm just a poor schmo. And what happened was that he was obviously talking to his wife, and he slammed the phone down. And I just couldn't get over that because you don't do that
Not
to someone
all.
That you love.
Exactly.
You know, and I thought, what's he going to do to his employees? I strongly believe that people work with people as opposed to for.
Oh, yeah.
The second thing I look for is the market opportunity. What's the market opportunity? Is there growing a sustainable market? Third thing I look for is, what's the business strategy? How do I get out of it? You know, what's the A to Z? Fourth thing I look for is value to the customers. Is there value to the customer, and what is the value to the customer? And the fifth thing I look for is financials, and it's, by the way, what do you do? You know, I look for good business people.
Definitely.
I judge business plan competitions at Kennesaw State University. And at Kennesaw State University, there was one guy, and he talked about, about 19 minutes on what the value of his product is. It was a food product. And at the very end, he said, and by the way, he said, I just signed a contract and I'm in Costco. And there was a friend of mine that knew what I was about to do, and I was about to leap out of my chair. And I said, you just signed a contract with 475 stores. Costco did all their diligence, what they do, wonderful operation. Why didn't you say that? You just wasted, you know, 19 minutes of my time, because I don't give a rat's tail about the food product. What I care about is how much money. You know, it just told me he didn't understand the business sense of it.
And that's sad. You see that all the time.
Yeah, fortunately, I had a guy next to me, and what he did is just put an arm, because he knew immediately what was going to happen. He just put an arm on mine. You know, just kind of settle down now. You know, because, you know, in 475 Costco stores, and he's going to be in them.
That's amazing. I would lead off that every time.
Yeah, that's where you start the conversation. I just signed a contract, 475 Costco stores.
Well, I think the one thing we haven't touched on, Alan, is your really cool co-working space. We haven't touched on the office part of the 200 building.
Yeah, 200 office is something that I've always had a dream on, and what it is for young entrepreneurs and business owners to come and to start their business at the idea stage. I think there's five stages of company's growth. The first is you get an idea. The second one is that you understand what the business opportunity is. The third stage is you're getting some money in, but you're not really sure how that money's coming in. Mm-hmm. The fourth stage is then you're scaling up and putting the procedures and practices in place. And the fifth is someone's caught up to your backside, and you've got to put some more features. We're 200 office, like I said, is a dream of mine, what I've always wanted to do. And what it does is start at the first two stages. And in the first two stages, what you're trying to do is figure out how you can make some money off of it. Mm-hmm. And by making some money off of it, that's where it is. So you sit in this cool area. We just set up a lounge. And what we did was we were going to put a little TV, but it gets you away from home. I'm always talking about business opportunities. Business at home, what you do is you get distracted by things. You get distracted by the dishes. As I was leaving today, I was noticing that my grass was a little bit too long what I needed to do. And if I was at home, I'd be obsessing on that. You know, I got to cut my grass, you know, and things like that. And now that, and what it does is get you away from all that, and you strictly work on business. And it's a good way to network and see if there's any synergies between the other people that are there. We've got about 150 members now, which I'm quite proud of. We're always looking for more. And what we're doing to get more members is that we're more introducing them to the environment by having events there. We want to have an event every single night there. And by having an event every single night there, you know, from 30, you know, even lower, maybe 10 to, we can host about 200 people there. And so we're inviting people to come in there, and I will give them complimentary space for that, that thing. And
that's excellent.
Yeah.
I actually am going to be working with you on that, which is a very exciting
thing. I'm very, very excited about that, too. Because, Jessica, you have such great experience in all that area.
Thank you. I can definitely attest to the co-working space being a necessary thing for an entrepreneur, because it is kind of a lonely space. I mean, you're working, you're building your business, and you don't necessarily have the resources to have your own brick and mortar or the need, I mean, in a lot of times. So I love working there myself. So.
And what I've done is I've put five initiatives in there, and one of them is the international initiative, because I want an easy place for people to come into the U.S. For example, a Brazilian company that wants to put a footprint in the U.S., I want them to come here to Georgia.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And the reason I want them to come here to Georgia is because every one job they put in, there's a point nine created. Someone's got to make the bed. If they stay at the Holiday Inn, someone's got to make that bed. Someone's got to drive them. Someone's got to feed mm-hmm. them. Someone's got to, make sure that they've got security. Another area that I'm looking at is an executive in residence program to help these young companies grow. They might say, I've got a cash flow issue. You know, how do you help them, you know, do that? Or how do you get through some of the things that you do at the, to get a presence in the U.S.?
Mm-hmm.
Another area that I'm working on is with a group of young entrepreneurs. I've been having on my radio show, what I do is I have a lot of entrepreneurs. I'm not talking about as old as we. I'm talking about one guy I had about a year ago. He sold his first company at 12.
Wow.
He's 13 now. He's doing financial planning.
Wow.
And I'm seeing a lot of those. Blamtastic. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Lily's been on your show or not. But
I'm sure she.
Yeah, Blamtastic is and Lily Sandler is 14, and she's now in 3,000 stores. It's lip balm for young. My granddaughter's
love
it.
We had her on one of our shows.
Yeah, oh yeah, she's a wonderful person. Mm-hmm. You know, and she's growing her company. And another area I'm having is Munch and Learns. I want to do a lot of Munch and Learns in there, and so I'm inviting people. If they have a specific knowledge base, I'd love to have them come in. Those are some of the things that we're working on. But co-working space, but it's an environment. It's a hub for people can come in and they can work.
All right. Well, how do people reach out to you? Either get event space or co-working space, Alan?
Well, they can reach out to me directly by AURECH. My first initial, my first name, and my last name, URECH, at the number 200, Peachtree.com. Or they can call us in our office at 404-855-6875.
Well, thank
and
you.
And love to talk to them all.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
You're more than welcome. Thanks for having me.
Next up on Meeting Pros, we have Jimmy Economos with EEP Events. And I didn't butcher that again, did I?
You got it, man.
Yes.
I'm impressed.
Right. That's the first time I'm trying to go for 100% pronouncing people's names properly.
It usually takes two tries, so that's very impressive.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and your company.
I want to say that I'm honored to be here, and I'm humbled to follow Alan. Yeah. I'm impressed that Alan mows his own yard. That's pretty impressive. With everything he's done, you'd think there'd be an entrepreneur service out there cutting that grass.
Might some downtime. You got to do
that. Need some time in the sun, right? A little bit about EEP Events. I'll tell you a little bit about myself, and then we'll get into the company. EEP Events is an event production company, and I know that's such a broad term. So I think what I could do is give you a little background about the two people that own it, and maybe that'll give you a better idea of the type of stuff we did. You guys brought up the Alley Awards.
Mm-hmm.
So I could say that the company was founded based off the Alley Awards in a way that I was working production chair. I've worked with the Alley 7 years.
Okay.
I've been entertainment chair. I was co-chair last year. I've been production chair. And my wife, Leah Stevens Economos, who's listening to us on the radio right now, she was in charge of the venue where the event was held, which was the Cobb Energy Center.
Okay.
So she and I met working that event. We dated after that, ended up getting married, and formed a company. So Leah is the planning side, the logistics side, and I'm the audio, video, lighting
match
side.
Match made in heaven.
Match made in heaven, man. I'd worked for a few production and entertainment companies in Atlanta. I branched off to do my own thing. I always had that entrepreneur spirit.
Yeah.
And then the beginning of last year, Leah left her full-time position and came to work with us mm-hmm. to help expand the brand. And she's brought a lot to the company. We've really grown in the last year, so I attribute a lot to her. But I think that's kind of us in a nutshell.
Yeah, and Leah won an award. Was it a couple years ago?
She
was it last
did.
Year?
She did. So last year we won an award together. We won, I have to look it up. What was it? We have the Alley's Best Team Effort Award. And
oh,
we
that's
won
my
the,
favorite one.
Is it? We won it for our wedding.
Okay.
So we brought in a handful of great Atlanta vendors.
Mm-hmm.
We had 27 entertainers, and it truly was a production.
Yeah.
We got the Best Team Effort for that, which was great. And what else? Leah got the Rising Star Award, which was 2011, so 2 years ago.
I signed up for that this year. I have to say that every time it's mentioned. I'm like, rising star.
That's awesome. That's awesome. She was very happy to win it and very humbled and honored to win it, too. But it was a great award for her. And we thought with these accolades and with the forward momentum of the company and what we're doing, let's take off and try it on our own. And so far, last year was our first year, but this is the year that we've really launched with our marketing and things like that. Mm-hmm. And the response has been great. We've had repeat clients that have followed us for the past 5-6 years in all my endeavors, and we've picked up a lot of new clients. So it's been very good for us.
You do the Greek Festival every year.
Do the Atlanta Greek Festival.
That is a very cool event. I always go to that.
I've never been. Good times. I'm going to go.
Yeah. I'll bring you guys tickets to it. You definitely have to go.
Definitely.
I'm the entertainment director for the festival. And what I've done in the past couple of years is their staging, their lighting, and their sound. Mm-hmm. I started in the Greek Festival. My career started as a 5-6-year-old dancing up on that stage. So I started as a Greek dancer, and that kind of got me into the events world. Mm-hmm. And I've stuck with that festival. It's my home church and my community. So
that's awesome.
Community is always first with
it's
me.
It's a big event.
It's a huge event. Yeah. We have 4,000 or 5,000 people pass through a day. Yeah. And, it's amazing that we pull this thing together because it's a community. It's, you know, it's not a group of professionals. It's a group of dedicated community members. And I love being a part of it. So it's a great event. I hope you guys come out.
Definitely.
And I think that's like October 5th through the 7th. So I'll throw a little plug in there too.
Yeah. Definitely. So you've been in the event industry about 20 years, right?
I have. Yep.
So you must have some either crazy stories or some memorable moments that you can tell us about.
I do. You know, I started, like I said, as a DJ in high school, and then I ran a small DJ company in college. When I got back to Atlanta, I was picked up by a couple companies, and through all of that, I've seen some great stuff. I've worked with some great celebrities. I got to provide sound for Elton John, which was very cool.
Oh, man, that'd be...
One cool story was I got to work lighting for the we got the lighting contract for Kevin Lyle's wedding, which was in Birmingham. He was the president of Def Jams as well as Sony Records.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So here's an interesting story about this. So we get down there, and Russell Simmons and the mayor, Kasim Reed, they were all there. They were all in the lineup. They flew
like
in.
Like they're all buds.
They're all buds.
Cool.
Having a good time together, and it's time to do the intros. Mm-hmm. And as you guys know, I've got a DJ background. And the DJ that they flew in from New York wasn't going to do it. He said he doesn't do intros. He just plays music. He was eating dinner.
What?
And so someone came up to me and said, Jimmy, you have got to introduce this bridal party. Now, I've introduced 1,000 bridal parties.
Yeah, that's a huge part of it.
But when you're talking about Russell Simmons and Kevin Lyles and Frank Ski and all Seam Reed and all the rest.
I'll do it.
I was shaking. But that's when we talk about memorable stuff, that was very memorable. And the other thing is the community stuff. I get to work with City of Dunwoody a lot.
Oh, they're
and
great.
Produce some events for them. You know, it's so nice to see a non-city turn into a city and then grow and then prosper.
It's such
and
a that's beautiful place.
It is, man. Dunwoody, and we're sitting in Sandy Springs. Sandy Springs as well. I do a lot of work with Sandy Springs Chamber of Commerce, with Dunwoody Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, we have them in here at the studio all the time.
They're great. They're great. I love to see it grow. Brookhaven just founded their own city, and we're working with Arthur and Brookhaven to develop some of their events and their year. We're talking about their year and what they're going to do. So it's if you ask me, you know, it's nice to work with the celebs, but it's great to come back to the hometown groups.
Yeah, and offer some
organic
community.
And absolutely. Yeah. And watch them grow, and then our company's growing with them.
Yeah.
Every year these contracts get bigger.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Dunwoody Parade, you're a part of that event, aren't you?
Yeah, we do the sound for the parade. We outsource the tenting for the parade. We've got a couple of different hats for that parade. We do entertainment as well as music. We have about 20,000 people that come to attend this event. We do the closing ceremonies area, and that grew from a very small parade with maybe 1,000 people, maybe 1,500 people in it and watching. And again, that's just one of those great organic events that I'm very happy to be a part of. And that's what EEP is about. We were grown off of these type of events and these type of clients. So we owe it all to them.
Definitely. Yeah. And it sounds like you bootstrapped your guys' self too. So
yeah,
that's a great, we love to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, this explains why you have a great radio voice, the DJ, the DJ aspect. What really sets EEP events from other event companies? Because you're competing with a lot of different event companies out there in Atlanta, so you really have to step it up somehow.
That's true. What I would fall back to if you asked us what was the difference, because, you know, in my years of doing this from a DJ to a producer, I've seen so many companies come and many go and some stay. So it's interesting just to see what's developed in this town and how this town has developed. Atlanta's changed so much in the past 15, 20 years, I think with the start of the Olympics is really where it all got going. What separates us? I would say a lot of it has to do with, I'll go back to some of Alan's points, passion, I wrote them down, character, integrity, things like, but he was dead on. And I think that's what really sums us up is that you take the experience that I have and the clients that I've worked with and the passion that I have for it. I really care about my clients' events. One of the things that I bring to the table is that I've got a creative side to me as well. So if a client comes to me and says, Jimmy, this is what we're looking to accomplish, this is my objective, we come back with them with different options for different budgets, different ways to do things. You know, it's not just about 10 up lights in a room. It's what can we do to hit your goals? Is there something that I can add that you didn't know about that exists in the production world that may fit what you want to do? I think that's very important, and that separates companies. And also the fact that Leah is working with us as well. I mean, she's worked with Legendary Events, a Divine Event. She opened the Cobb Energy Center. And just to have two people like that on board that are diverse but yet in the same world, I think brings a lot of value to a client.
Yeah, definitely. It offers like a one-stop shop.
For everything.
And
we own a lot, and what we don't own we outsource, but still those relationships built with those vendors are very valuable as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We can guarantee you know what you're getting. We know when it's going to be there. We handle the logistics schedule for the stuff that we are bringing in from outside vendors. So it is a total package when it comes to that production. And I think that, you know, you're putting your money down, your event happens one time. So you better make sure it happens right, and the people that are on it care about it, and that you have what you expected.
Absolutely,
I love it. So, do you have like a niche? Like, do you do weddings, big events? Do you do corporate events, or do you do like the gamut?
You know, it's interesting because again, going back to what Alan was saying, the fruit stands the factories. I think that that's such a great way to sum it up, and I think. The issue with these companies is you get going and you try to figure out what you want to be. You don't want to turn into such a big company that's in our industry, the service gets taken away.
Yeah, definitely.
But you want to be rocking and rolling. So I would say that if we had a niche, we can knock out weddings, we can knock out social, we can knock out corporate. It really depends on sitting down with the client. That's what I tell clients. You know, what can you do to help us? I need to sit down with you and get organized and educated.
Yeah.
What do you want? What do you need? How many people are coming? What venue are you at? That's another thing. You know, what venue are you at? Just like 200 Peachtree.
Mm-hmm.
What can you do? What are the venue's limitations? Things like that. So I say that we've handled most of it. I've got outdoor parades with 20,000 people. And we did a wedding last weekend with Bold American over at 887, Studio 887.
Oh, yeah.
And we helped them put together their ceremony musicians, the DJ, as well as the band inside, and a little bit of planning and logistics in between. So,
so you offer full comprehensive planning.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Full comprehensive planning. Leah tackles it.
Do you offer also like consulting, like an hourly rate? Like there are a lot of people that I've found that do their research. Do you get involved in that? Or are you...
As far as that's a slippery slope, and it's tough because I'll sign on a contract with a client, and then the client will want to sit down with me and pick my brain. And and we found a tough time that how do I have an hour brainstorming session with you, but how does that not turn into five brainstorming sessions? Because there's clients that need more attention, and I want to give it to them. But one of the issues that we've run into now that we become more busy, you know, you start to look for that business, and then you find the business. And then the hard part is, how do you manage your time when you have the business?
Yeah.
So that's something we've been struggling with. We don't charge hourly for consultations, but this past year we have put a lot of time into our clients.
Yeah.
And that's something that we are trying to figure out what is the best way to go about that. Because we want to stay within their budgets, and we all know that everyone has one.
And you want to give them the best service, too. Yeah. So that's definitely contributes.
And the only thing I would add is you guys asked about my niche and what I'm into. You know, I started with, like I said, the Greek Festival. So I do Greek festivals. I will MC and entertain across the country from Atlanta to California. And I do a lot of Greek weddings, too, Greek-American weddings.
Wow.
I'm able to fuse the cultures because I'm a Greek-American.
Right.
And there's actually a big need now.
Yeah.
So I travel a lot throughout the country doing Greek-American weddings. We're that's the one big growth for us is that we're moving outside of Atlanta.
Great.
So we're in Highlands, we're in Charleston, and we're in Charlotte this summer. Working with brides, Greek American brides, to produce these shows for them. So if I had, I don't want to pigeonhole myself,
right? Yeah.
But the Greek niche has always been something that's very close to my heart.
Sure, yes.
I know it very well,
very
and
passionate.
I love to cater. I'm very
we can tell.
yeah, exactly. Opa.
So I come from a film background. So something I don't think people realize with events or movies or anything, lighting is super
huge.
Important. It's huge. And people don't think, oh, you just put up a couple lights. Can you talk to just lighting a
little bit? I would love to. And you know, lighting, it's the new it. It's funny. You ask what bride trends are, and I hear that a lot. What are the new trends? I'll tell you what the new trend is. It's lighting. It's you used to see high-end brides and high-end clients get into it, and then everybody else said, if we can afford it, that's cool. We're not worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of brides going into these gobos, which are the stencil patterns on the walls. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're doing some real creative work with some brides this year that want to dress up these walls, but it's not just splashing it there. We're tying gobos together and adding color to them. And the light does play. You know, you walk into a room, and no offense to anyone that has a venue, but you know, if there's a bland wall, that color really adds the difference. That mm-hmm. that ambient light makes a big deal.
And the customization is absolutely what a bride is looking for.
Well, I'll tell you something you don't think about. So you go to a wedding, and there's a band in the corner. There's a band playing, right? And if that band is not lit, you wouldn't believe how much it pulls away from their performance. It doesn't sound like mm-hmm. it would. But if you're looking at them and it's a dark corner and you can't see them that well, you don't get engaged, because we get engaged by our ears and our eyes. Mm-hmm. So lighting can be decorative, or lighting can help bring out something that we want them to see. You know, let's say the light dies on the band and goes on the cake for the cake cutting. Mm-hmm. Boom. That's not something that you think about when you're saying, I got to plan this wedding. Yeah. But when you're talking about the run of show, it's critical. It's critical to a good show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad to see that lighting is evolving.
Yeah, definitely.
And also lighting is becoming more affordable too, with the new LEDs and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's easier for us to do more.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see what's going to happen in the market and what events are going to, especially at the alleys, things like that, what events are going to come out, what people have done with some of this lighting that they're using.
Well, I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of these laser lights. Do you use those? They are so difficult to photograph around.
Lasers.
I know. I've seen lasers. Pictures, and it's like, God, they really put color everywhere and make the ambiance a bit different.
I'll tell you the truth. LEDs and I was listening to the show a little while ago, and somebody was saying that parkins are a thing of the past, and now it's all about LEDs. And I'll tell you the truth. You asked about lighting. It's not true. Mm-hmm. So if you want a specific color, you got to go with a parkin. Mm-hmm. LEDs only do a range of colors. It's red, green, blue, purple.
Yeah.
And what I found is the problem with them is when you try to take a picture of the room, the intensity of the light is so bright that you'll never take a good picture if that room is surrounded with LEDs. You can't get it.
Yeah.
So I think that's the issue right now, is that mm-hmm. we've come out with these wireless lights that give a nice electric blue, and you don't need cords. You don't have to tape it. But when you take pictures of it, the room looks so hot that you're not getting those images. And in our industry, image is what sells
that's
the event.
That's what it is.
I got to have that image.
Me too.
So that we're trying to figure out how to get around stuff mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
So what's next for your award-winning company?
Man, next. Getting out of fruit stand mode. We have some real organic growth. We're taking our time with our growth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we put out a great Constant Contact today. We're working on our social media. Leah's great with that. We're working on pulling some people to help us with that. Now that we have the business, we need some more help in sales and marketing and things like that. But I just want to keep my growth organic. I want to keep the clients that I have, and I want to make sure that I grow with them and I continue to grow their events properly. And I think that if I do that, and we get back to some of this passion and optimistic and optimism and integrity, I think that as long as we can push those forward, that our business will continue to grow and I don't have issue. I'm happy to see us spread out of the city, mm-hmm. although I love Atlanta. I was born and raised here. And so
Kevin and I were too.
Yeah.
It's
Dunwoody High School. But anything I can do to be a part of the city and its growth, like I said, you know, the Olympics were so impactful for me in 96. And I really saw what this city could be and what an event could be.
Yeah.
So I think that I'm here for the ride. And I just hope we can keep growing, and I'd love to employ some more people so that we can have a quality team that's out there doing our best.
Definitely. Yeah.
Well, I received your newsletter today.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was great.
Thank
you. Very good strategy, by the way.
Just so happened to go out 2 hours before the interview, right?
Exactly.
Well, I appreciate it, guys.
So, Jimmy, how do people reach out and hire you guys for events?
That's easy. We've got a bunch of numbers and a bunch of contacts. The website is www.eepevents.com. You can call our office at 678-974-7107. So if you'd like to get in touch with us, and my email is Jimmy, J-I-M-M-Y, at eepevents.com. And we'd love to hear from you.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, it was great.
Well, last but definitely not least on Meeting Pros, we have Ellie Westman Chin, the Vice President of Business Development and Corporate Events for Atlanta Convention and Visitor Bureau. Welcome, Ellie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No problem at all. So just give us a little brief intro of yourself and how you got to where you are.
Okay. Let's see. I started... I grew up outside Chicago and was working in Chicago for an event production company, and got a call in 1993, not to age myself, that Nashville, Tennessee was going to start a sports council, and would I be interested in working at the sports council? And I said, well, sure, that sounds interesting. So I moved to Nashville, Tennessee, and really had a great ride there, because when I moved, I was the second employee for the Nashville Sports Council, and when I moved there, you know, the sports were University of Tennessee football and Vanderbilt basketball and things like that. We didn't have any professional sports, but it was a really wild ride, because in my tenure there, I got to serve on committees to help bring the Oilers to Nashville, which are now the Tennessee Titans. Yeah. We got the expansion team with the NHL with the Nashville Predators. And it was just really, it was like every day I'd walk around going, am I really doing this? Like, it's pretty cool.
Is this my life?
Yeah, is this, and it was just one of those perfect moments in time where who gets to do that? I got to help, you know, be there when both of those buildings were built, and we were the first sporting event in the arena with the U.S. Figure Skating Championships. Yeah. And so that was a great ride. And but while I was there, we hosted the NHL entry draft. And which was really exciting for two reasons. One, professionally, that's a cool event to host.
Definitely.
Sure.
But second, that's how I met my husband.
Ah.
So my husband at the time was vice president of events for the NHL and oversaw the draft and the All-Star game things like that. So we married, and I moved to New York City, worked for an event production company there. I think that was such an amazing and different kind of experience, because, you know, New York is such a great, great city. But I've never worked in a city where you call a special event venue and said, I want to host an event. And they're like, well, you know, they don't even call you back. They don't care.
No, they don't.
But I think one of my crowning moments there was I was there right when Top of the Rock opened in Rockefeller Center. Yeah. And so I was the first person to host an event at Top of the Rock and then use the Rainbow Room for dinner.
Wow.
I did get to play a role, although it wasn't a successful role, in the 2012 Olympic bid for New York City, where we built a whole stadium in Rockefeller Center and stayed up all night watching the activity for the announcement. Of course, we were out pretty quickly, and then we all cheered for London. But and then my opportunity here came up with the Atlanta Convention Visitors Bureau, and my husband had an opportunity here as well. So 7 years ago, we moved to Atlanta, and here we are today.
So how do you like Atlanta so far?
Yeah,
being,
you know,
a transplant?
We are loving Atlanta. It's been a great city for us. We've met a lot of people here, so friendly. We've met a lot of nice friends, and have had great opportunities. I mean, we were all part of the Final Four last weekend, and that was just a crazy, crazy time.
It was
fantastic. So Atlanta's been good to us.
All right.
Yeah.
So what upcoming events do we have in Atlanta?
Yeah, so this is a big year for Atlanta Convention and Visitors Bureau, because we are 100. Probably at the end of this year, I'm probably going to feel 100, let me tell you, because we started planning the 100th anniversary about 2 years ago, and we had a lot of internal discussions, and William Pate, who's our president and CEO, and I had many discussions about what does that mean, what are we going to do for our 100th, and, you know, he said, I don't think we should just celebrate the 100th one day. I think we should celebrate the 100th throughout the entire year.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, and we have had so much fun with this, I have to tell you. So we went, we have a committee that we work with that's comprised of Atlanta's attractions and professional sports teams, and I went to them and I said, so what do you guys want to do? And so every month we have what we're calling Deals of the Century, where different sports teams and attractions offer specials in that month. And that kicked off with the Atlanta History Center earlier this year, where there were certain nights of the month they opened for free.
Wow.
And it was gangbusters.
Yeah.
And it's just been really picking up speed now that people realize that that's going to change every month.
Mm-hmm.
They're checking the website, what's coming up, what's next, and so forth. So that's been a lot of fun. And then I did the exact same thing, but on the restaurant side, we have a restaurant committee, and I went to the restaurant committee and I said, so what do you guys want to do? And they're doing a couple things. One is on January 1st, we launched a list. It's Atlanta's 100 signature dishes. And through social media, we've been challenging the community to eat 100 before the end of the year and send us pictures as they're trying to dish.
Awesome.
And things like that. And they can win prizes and so forth. I've had 33 so far. So I'm
Kevin could be on there. He is a big foodie.
There you go. You could be our guy. Eating through the
exactly.
dish. Right.
I'm there.
And then the other thing that they've decided to do, which will kick off the night of our gala, which I'll get to in a minute, is have a cocktail contest and name ACVB Centennial Cocktail.
So, I could get involved on that one.
Yes. And there's a lot to try, because we have 68 restaurants signed up. They all have submitted original recipes with spirits, Brown-Forman spirits. Coca-Cola is a sponsor as well. April 25th at our gala, we're going to list all the restaurants and kick off the contest. From April 26th to June 14th, you can go out and try and go online and vote for your favorite. And then the 14 finalists, two out of each spirit category, will come to an event at Opera Nightclub on July 11th to name the final, the big winner. So we have been having so much fun with that. And I have to tell you, I've learned a lot about mixing cocktails because it's not my forte.
I was a bartender for a long time. Okay. So I was thinking more in the recipe side rather than the drinking side of
there you go. Yes.
I was never a bartender, but I was a bar back. And whenever we got too busy, they would tell me, all right, just get behind the bar. As long as you know the color of the drink, just make it work. So that's my experience.
And how did that turn out?
Fine. I just smile and I just be like, hey.
Just charm them.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's great. It's really been interesting. I got a question from a bartender last night, and I was like, I have no idea. Let me go Google real quick. I'll get back to you and let you know.
Exactly.
So, but we've got Stuart Fuhrman, who's with a Fifth Group, has been leading the charge on the restaurant committee for that and has been doing a fabulous job. So it's really just exciting. We just have different things happening every month this year, and it's a big celebration.
That's wonderful. I love the build-up to the big event. So let's get into the big event, the centennial celebration.
Every year in April, we have an annual meeting luncheon, and it's been great. And this year, we were like, we don't need a luncheon. We need a gala.
Yeah.
We need to do something at night and have a lot of fun with it. So on April 25th at the Georgia World Congress Center in the Thomas Murphy Ballroom, we are throwing a gala. Mm-hmm. Jeff Foxworthy is going to be our host, and I'm thrilled. For 7 years, I have been trying to work with Jeff Foxworthy. He's an Atlanta boy.
Yes.
And loves Atlanta and talks about Atlanta. And I was like, we are all about Atlanta. It's our job to market the city. So I thought this could be the thing, you know, and it's such a special year. So he signed
he's
on.
He's very cool. I worked with him a few years ago.
Oh, did you? Cool. Oh,
he's
my gosh.
He's a very nice person, I would think.
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard nothing but great things about him, and I'm really looking forward to meeting him. But we're going to kick off at 6 o'clock with a cocktail reception, and we've got music coming in, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And then the dinner and gala will follow that immediately at 7 p.m., and we've got a lot of fun surprises there. But one of the biggest challenges was, how do you talk about 100 years in about an hour and a half?
Yeah.
You know, because nobody wants to sit there all night and listen to all 100 years. So we spent some time last year, we spent a lot of time last year, creating a timeline of the last 100 years of hospitality in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. For somebody new to Atlanta, that was a lot of fun for me because I learned a lot about the city and the growth and so forth. For instance, when we were created in 1913, we had 100,000 visitors to Atlanta, Georgia. In 2011, we had 39.7 million.
Wow.
You know, so
I would love to see this. This is great information. I love it.
I'm such a geek about information.
I am too. So fun. I am a researcher. Look things up, and yes, I love to know about all these kinds of things.
Good. That's awesome. It's really been interesting. So what we decided to do was we're creating some really great videos that are going to show the growth throughout the years, but then four of the moments that we think were integral moments of changing the city truly to a destination city, both from a destination standpoint or a leisure standpoint and a convention standpoint, we're going to bring to life through live theater, and we've hired local actors to act out those moments for us. So, yeah, I'm really excited about it.
You're keeping those moments on wrap.
I was going to ask what those moments were.
Yeah, they're on wrap. Hopefully everybody will agree with us. It's hard to choose four out of 100 years. But they were big, huge moments that have made a difference in the life of the city from a hospitality standpoint. And then at the end, we're going to go back out and have an after party. Yacht Rock Review is going to play.
Oh,
and
that
was just a personal thing for me.
That's very cool.
It's always fun when you're the event planner. You're just like, I want to hire Yacht Rock Review.
It's like a kid in a candy store. You're like, I can do anything.
That's exactly right. And plus, they represent the decades so well.
Sure.
Their cover, you know, of 60s, 70s, and 80s and how they dress. And I just thought that would be such a fun tie-in.
Yeah.
But it's really a celebratory evening. I mean, it's definitely going to be very upbeat. It's the chair of our board, Nancy Oswald, who is the co-owner of the Ruth's Chris Steakhouse franchise in Atlanta. She'll speak. She's fabulous. William's got great news to share with everybody. The new year kicked off really great for us. So it's just going to be a really fun, upbeat night.
Well,
Kevin and I would love to be involved.
Definitely.
Definitely.
If you need live radio. So.
Okay, we would love that. Definitely. So the tickets are going well, but we still have got space if anybody wants to come out and have a fun night with us and really learn about the hospitality industry and what we do. I think people don't really understand what the hospitality industry is and who that encompasses, but it's everybody sitting around this table, and it's all of our restaurants and attractions and our sports teams, and it's really exciting.
Well, that's the point of our show Meeting Pros, is really just get the word out about the people behind the scenes that make all these great events happen from small to large.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Ellie, how do people reach out to you and contact you?
So for all of the 100th celebration activity, we've created a website, and you can find that website at www.atlanta.net/100years, and you can learn about the deals of the century, the gala. My personal email is echin@atlanta.net.
Okay.
Awesome.
Well, before we wrap up here, I'm going to open up the mics for all of you guys. If you guys have questions for each other, just go for it. Not to put you guys on the spot.
So, no, it becomes quiet.
Exactly. I know.
Quiet before the storm.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah. Well, before we wrap, we always like to touch in with Jessica, but she has a group called Adventurepreneurs, and I always like to check in to see how they're doing.
Yeah, we're doing great. We're growing every day. This show has been a huge help in adding event professionals to the group, and I'm going to be planning a couple of events at 200 Office with Alan, and very excited about that, and love to have everybody here involved in that.
Definitely. Well, this is Kevin Finn for Jessica Park and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next time on Meeting Pros.
Thanks. Thank you.